CBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Controversy swirling around a number of the president-elect's administration picks, including Army National Guard veteran and Fox News host Pete Hegseth to lead the Department of Defense. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
He says throughout his book and in public that the senior leadership at the Pentagon, generals should be fired because they are, quote, woke. He believes the Pentagon has gone too far with diversity and inclusion training, and he has made quite clear he does not think women should be in combat.
And his attorney confirming Hegseth reached a settlement with a woman who accused him of sexual assault in 2017. Russia carried out one of its largest missile attacks in months, launching 120 missiles and 90 drones across Ukraine, the barrage targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Outrage growing at the University of Oregon after a swastika was discovered in a dormitory hall. Jewish students, along with others on campus, condemning the incident as hate speech. This is ABC News. Officials in Harris County, Texas, investigating the discovery of human remains found inside of a home that had suffered significant fire damage in the summer. Harris County Sheriff Sergeant Ben Beale says that the last known sighting of the previous tenant could leave clues as to where the remains came from.
We don't know where those remains came from in the house, if it may have been, you know, part of the tenant returned to the house. Nobody saw him when he returned, or if it may have been somebody else living in the house, but it definitely appears that those remains were there since the fire.
Wrecked homes, towering tidal surges, and hundreds of thousands forced to evacuate after a powerful typhoon swept across the northern Philippines today, the sixth major storm to hit the country in less than a month. In a new book, Pope Francis says the Vatican News Portal is calling for an investigation to determine whether Israel's actions in Gaza constitute genocide. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Keep the elements out of your home with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We had howling wind coming through. The rooms were freezing. We were very apprehensive about changing them because we were worried about losing the charm of the home. We went with Pella because we knew that they had an amazing reputation. We knew that they were going to have the windows that would look like they've been there forever, but with all the functionality that a window should have.
Order from Pella today and get no interest and no payments for 12 months. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Ends 11/30/2024.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine & More, find bourbons and cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice, so many bottles to try at the lowest price. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat, grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
With curbside pickup and delivery available and the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. More people across the country are driving electric vehicles, but Wisconsin lags behind. EVs only make up about 1% of all cars on our roads. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Misconceptions about cost, maintenance, and performance are top of mind for hesitant buyers. But in Wisconsin, where about 30% of the state's population is rural, accessibility is one of the biggest concerns. Jeremiah Brockman with the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Association thinks it's only partly because rural areas in general are slower to catch on to some trends. He says some areas still don't have enough charging stations.
Part of the problem, too, is you have more farmland in rural areas. And if you spend the entire day out on a farm and you're driving around your, you know, many acres of land, you worry about where you're going to charge your vehicle at that point. And I think that's another hurdle.
Compared to neighboring states, Wisconsin has significantly fewer charging stations. In an effort to help bolster the state's EV infrastructure, Wisconsin passed a law earlier this year to install a network of 65 fast charging stations statewide. The plan is to install them every 50 miles along the interstate system and major highways through next year. Even though the law was Republican-authored in Wisconsin, Brockman says he believes the political divide is another factor in EV ownership hesitation.
Honestly, you know, this is part of a larger national conversation where electric vehicles are kind of being politicized. And, you know, I like to say the benefits are there. It doesn't matter who you voted for last Tuesday. The benefits are there no matter what.
Those benefits include lower fuel and maintenance costs, lower emissions, and potential tax breaks. For Public News Service, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly sunny for today. Breezy west winds nearly to 30 and highs in the mid-50s. Overnight, mostly clear skies and lows in the mid-30s. On your Monday, look for partly sunny skies, highs in the low to mid-50s as rain moves in. It's 53 at our studios.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will take a look at what happened over the weekend. Don't worry, nothing. Well, yeah, some things are going to happen over the weekend. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where we do what we say. We lean into the local community. And the past few Sundays, we've had some politicians on. And, of course, we talked a little bit about the NFL draft. And I continually brag about how great this city is and how great the greater Green Bay community is to live and raise families and work and recreate. And how the VCB, we had them on, the visitor, I guess it's called Discover Green Bay now, how the revenue from room tax and sales tax is going through the roof. Of course, the Green Bay Packers help a lot with that. But with all that said, you know, we have our challenges in this community too. And today we're going to focus and lean into an issue here in Green Bay, which is not exclusive to Green Bay. It's throughout the state of Wisconsin as well as, you know, the whole United States. And that's homelessness. And it's almost hard to see that in that, you know, the economy is pretty good, right? They talk about 4% unemployment. You know, we're the wealthiest country in the world by far. And yet you can drive around, and I'm not talking about, you know, LA or New York. I'm talking about Green Bay, Wisconsin, and see homeless. And that hurts. And so I brought in a guest today in-house that knows this industry, if you will, this subject matter. Trey Refsgaard has been working in the homeless industry for 30 years. That's a long time. And we're going to talk about 20 years. Okay.
Don't be adding 10 years.
All right.
Years
sorry back. About that. The shelter you're at has been in the community for 30 years.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That's where I got my 30. I was looking at my notes wrong. It's getting, you know. 20 years she's been working in this industry, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about some of the challenges, we're going to talk about some of the good things that are happening, and, you know, hopefully towards the end of the show we're going to have a solution that could possibly end homelessness. Now, one person at a time, but if we can figure that out here in Green Bay, you know, we're confident enough that we would take this to other communities and then show them the model and show them how that can work. So with that said, Terry Refsgaard, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad you're here today. This is going to be an interesting subject matter. Let me just ask you before we get into the X's and O's, like, what attracted you to work with the homeless?
I think it was a cause that I saw people either did not want to hear about, right. They did not want to see, they felt sorry for individuals, and that's where it ended. There was no sense of there could be a better life for that individual. And as a community, we should be a part of providing some sort of resources for them to do that.
So I think you're right, because I know some people that would feel empathy, feel bad, but then drive by thinking, but for the grace of God, there go I, you know, kind of like, you know, I've been blessed, but they have to be blessed too, right? We have to help them as well.
Exactly.
And 30 years ago, a community shelter started here in Green Bay on Broadway. Many years ago, I volunteered there. That was a rough place.
That was.
I don't know that they were helping or enabling. I'm just not sure. It just didn't feel right.
Right.
And you, one of the board of directors called you and said, we need to up our game.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. So you were at Special Olympics, right?
I was at Special Olympics. Everybody that knew me, excuse me, including my family, thought I had lost my mind. That homelessness is not one of those things that, again, that people want to talk about or acknowledge. Yeah. So I was ready for a challenge, and I got a challenge and put some expectations of the people that live there as to, you know, if you're going to live here, this is what it needs to happen.
Yeah.
And probably the first thing was zero tolerance for drugs and alcohol, period.
That is a start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, again, I just think from what I read and, you know, I do work in that industry a little bit, that is absolutely step one for a lot of people.
It is. So when I instituted breathalyzers.
I bet they loved you.
Oh, boy. Not only, surprisingly, you know, the residents, they weren't thrilled about it, but the community thought, oh, my God. I mean, there'll be nobody there. If these people can't drink, there'll be nobody at the shelter if they breathalyze. But lo and behold, I know the residents did continue to stay and come back. And then from there, other expectations grew as things like you'll have a chore while you live here. You'll have a curfew. We'll breathalyze people every night, 10 o'clock. And every night, it's a program. You're there every night. You can't stay two nights, leave for a week, come back for three nights. It's a program.
That is a commitment on both parts. It's a commitment on your part. That's like, look, we're going to be here for you every day, but you're going to be here every day. Yeah, because I think people, you know, I look at other shelters. And I don't know a lot. I've been to quite a few shelters, really. When I was mayor, we went to different cities and looked at them. And some of them are what they called soup kitchens. And that's where you can go and get something to eat, sleep for a little while, get up and maybe chill, walk around for two or three days or leave town and come back. And it's truly a soup kitchen, which has kind of a nice connotation. Soup is warm. It's kind of healthy. But it doesn't get them out of homelessness.
No,
Does the word enables them? I don't know if it enables them, but it sure doesn't help them get out of homelessness.
Exactly. Because if there's no expectation for you and here's your bed and here's your soup, you're going to stay exactly where you are.
Right.
And then you've got a community that, again, either doesn't want to talk about homelessness or feels sorry for people. So, well, you know, here's some cookies, here's some, where what we needed to do was come up with a rehabilitative program that you come in and we will help you where you're at. We will start there. For some, it's make your bed every day, take a shower every day. That's your start, all based on goals, because I'm a firm believer. I don't care who you are, or how old you are, or what your disabilities are. Everybody should have goals. And I think that's something that people don't think about with people experiencing homelessness. They look at homelessness as he's homeless. So hopeless, in other words. No, he's experiencing homelessness. Why did it happen? Who do you want to be? Who were you? You know, and let's get back there. And what caused you to get to the point where you've become homeless? And, you know, people assume drugs and alcohol are the primary cause of homelessness, where in many cases they are self-medicating, you know, that there's other things going on in their life. Then they start drugs, then they start alcohol. So it's getting back, getting down to that root cause. Wow.
The people who come to, and then I want to talk about, so you were on Broadway when you took the job, and I'm sure they very much wanted you to take the job, but you must have had some, like, do I want to do this? I mean, that was a rough place, right?
It was.
In a rough environment.
It was. There were no rules. I remember at one point, staff member could come to work under the influence of alcohol as long as they were not drunk. There was so many things.
Wow.
So it was a basically scrubbing the whole place and starting over and getting a professional staff. And that meant not so much professionals coming in, but individuals coming in that believed in the mission, the direction we were going, and supported that.
Wow. So you took this job 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
new sheriff in town. You also, the community must have been supportive. We talked earlier, but sometimes people, thank God it's not me. But, I mean, you did build a building in, your first couple of years, didn't you?
Well, I basically came with the building. They had raised money for the building, and I started months before we moved in.
And you're on Mather Street, and you can house how many people there? 120?
118.
118.
What was interesting, though, is when I started, there was a group of nonprofit people that got together and let me know that you should be going to all these meetings. And I was busy restructuring, and two of them asked me to go out to lunch and told me, okay, now when you're out in the community fundraising, drive an old car and don't get dressed up.
Like you were one of them.
Right, right. You know, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't, I guess, put my money on somebody that didn't look like they could manage money. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah. So this place was built on Mather Street, 301 Mather Street, a beautiful facility. And it's 20 years old this year, 2024, and looks 2 years old, right?
It does, yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's incredible how well kept up you've had that place. Let's talk about the people who are there, because the building's great, but the exterior, you know, it's like building a nice school. Well, what's going on the inside? You know, that's what I really want to know. The people who come to your shelter, they're making a commitment to you at the intake that they want homeless behind them.
Exactly. You know, we sit down and we find out what happened in your life to, you know, cause you to become homeless. Now, what do you want to work on?
Right.
And that could be employment. It could be housing. It could be health issues. And that person works with a case manager.
So everyone there is assigned a case manager?
Yes. Every single person, and they meet on a regular basis, and the resident comes up with the goals and the action plan.
Oh.
The case manager basically walks beside them and, you know, how are you doing? How are you doing on that? How many interviews did you go on?
And that's weekly they have to do that.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's talk about some other things when we come back and things that they have to do, but they're things that you and I do in the normal world, right? I mean, and how they learn those things. And I feel bad for some of the people that, I don't know if it's their parents or their environment, but they just don't know what they should.
Right,
and
right.
You teach them that and really get them out of homelessness. And I want to just talk about the program a little bit more and then what more the community can do. We're talking with Terry Ruffsgard, the CEO of the new community shelter on Mather Street, 20 years being the CEO there. Understanding the homeless business here in Greater Green Bay, and we'll talk about things that this community can do to help people get out of homelessness. This is Lean Local, Jim Schmidt. We're going to be right back.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
He's coming. Here he goes.
Surprise! Your table saw broke. Also, the warranty expired weeks ago, so you need to pay for anyone out of pocket.
At Progressive, we know small business owners don't usually like surprises because they cost you money.
But a good surprise that could save you money? Getting a commercial auto quote from Progressive.
Oh, and the replacement part you ordered doesn't fit, so it's completely useless.
What a waste.
Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We are talking homelessness in Greater Green Bay. Our guest, in-house guest, special guest, Terry Ruffsgaard, who is the chief executive officer at the new community shelter on Mather Street. That is a community shelter that gets people out of homelessness. It's not a soup kitchen. It's something where goals are set. I don't put the word intense, but case management on a very regular basis. Everyone who comes there has a chore to do every single day. And you know, some people who come in there, you say, well, your chore today is to vacuum. It's like, I don't know that I know how to vacuum. And you teach them. I mean, those are some skills that I sometimes see people there, Terry, and I'm thinking, wow, you really missed out on a chunk of life.
Right.
I don't know if it's because of alcohol, if it's because of their parents, or because I don't know why it is, but it's like I feel sorry. I mean, they're all at par, you know, eventually.
Right. Well, you know, you can look at that and you look at people and you think, this could be my neighbor, this could be my nephew, this could be, you know, anybody I know. But and to hear, I know when people arrive at the shelter, we let them know that they should expect to be respected while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they're not, I want to know about it. But they should be, you know, respect self, others, the facility, the neighborhood, and the community. And it's not uncommon for someone to say, what does that mean? What does that mean, respect? And so that's where you have to start. And a lot of people, I always say, if nothing else, if you stay with us 2 days, for 2 days you've learned to act right, to be polite, to pick up after yourself, to get your jobs done, you know.
And they're pleasant.
Right.
They say hello in the hall. And I think that respect for yourself, respect for each other, because so when I give tours once in a while there, you know, you're in a room with six or seven other people. Not the best environment, right?
Right.
I mean, when's the last time, you know, we shared a room except for your spouse or partner? They were sleeping outside the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to think, and they're happy. They're in a safe, you know, that whole Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? You got to be in a safe housing, you know, and then you can get good food. And then you can finally start working on yourself and making decisions. And I think you guys really do that. I think what's important about your shelter, and I do think a lot of it, you're there all the time. 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours a day?
Exactly, yeah.
And there's some shelters that they're temporarily in the business, and I don't know how that can work. I got to be honest with you. How, if you close for 2 or 3 months, or if you kick them out at 9 in the morning and, oh, I'll see you at 5, that's not a program. That's a soup kitchen.
That's a place to sleep.
Right.
Yeah, I heard or I read something recently about we are now in the shelter season, and I had to laugh because we're always in the shelter season. So homelessness does not stop in the summer, nor in the winter. So our numbers are always high. But we're lucky we have a natural kind of rotation where two people go out, one person comes in. And mm-hmm. we have a waiting list, but it's not, you know, exceptionally long.
And your focus at New Community, and I know there's federal programs and there's probably some state programs, but your focus is residents of this community, right?
Exactly. We're limited to Brown County residents, and we find that there is enough need here to limit our eligibility to be Brown County.
And while you might feel bad, look, you're from, you know, Outagamie County or Shawnee County or Manitowoc County, they have a responsibility to do that too.
And we'll help them get back to where they need to be,
right,
you know, one way or another. So, you know, nobody calls or comes to the shelter without hearing what's another option for you.
So in the 20 years that you've been working, you know, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day with a just a quality shelter, how has the response, two things I want to ask, the response from the community, because, I mean, you don't charge these people, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they're homeless.
Right.
So how's the funding working? And then I want to know how the demographics have maybe changed in 20 years.
I think as far as our community goes in funding, again, 20 years ago, nobody talked about homelessness, and people were afraid if we do, they will come, you know? And homelessness was here. I think today I am so very proud of this community because we talk, yes, we have people who are experiencing homelessness in our community. Every community does, but we don't talk about it in a way that we're ashamed of that as a community. We talk about it in a way of, we have people who are jobless, we have people who are homeless, we have people with medical issues. And this community soars in caring for each other. You know, we need something at the shelter or for a specific resident, the community is there. And I think that's because they know what we do,
mm-hmm.
and they support what we do. They understand it. So they've got that trust that if we're asking for something, we're going to use it in a way that you intend.
And kudos to you for, it takes time to build trust.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't wake up or just start a business and, hey, trust me. That takes time. And again, after 20 years, without naming names, you have had some unbelievable success stories.
Oh, yes, we have.
And excuse me. I think of, you know, I think the beauty of your place is that people come there, you know, and broken is the right word. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have, I mean, obviously homeless, but they don't have any friends. They don't have any money. They don't have any credit.
And the friends that they do have are probably part of the problem.
Right. So they show up at your door and say, look, I need a new life. Without dying, I want a new life, you know. And when you bring that, and I've talked to some people there, it's amazing how they go through your program and whether 7, 8 months, a year, year and a half, you know, it's how long it takes, right? As long as they're moving forward. They, I don't think you use the term graduate, but they're well, they're healed, whatever mm-hmm. the word is. And then they come back and volunteer.
Right.
Like
they're self-sufficient, and that's the goal.
That's a beautiful thing, though, when they mm-hmm. are that in that gratitude. I want to talk a little bit about, we still have homeless here. And do you mm-hmm. see a way out? Do you think this community is doing enough? New Community is doing enough, but you're one entity. And there are some good ones, right? Freedom House, House of Hope. I mean, I've been yep. to some of those places.
Definitely.
Because you talk about the demographics, there's families, and your focus is really more the adult.
Right. Individuals.
Individuals. Yeah. So I want to talk about other things that this community needs to do, and then I want to talk about if there's a next step for a new community shelter. So we're talking about homeless here. I know it's the holidays, but look, this problem doesn't go away by not addressing it. It goes away by addressing it. And that's what we're going to do here today with Terry Rutsgard, CEO of New Community Shelter. This is Lean Local. We'll be right back.
Stop.
from Ashwaubenon to Alloway. This is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Controversy swirling around a number of the president-elect's administration picks, including Army National Guard veteran and Fox News host Pete Hegseth to lead the Department of Defense. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
He says throughout his book and in public that the senior leadership at the Pentagon, generals should be fired because they are, quote, woke. He believes the Pentagon has gone too far with diversity and inclusion training, and he has made quite clear he does not think women should be in combat.
And his attorney confirming Hegseth reached a settlement with a woman who accused him of sexual assault in 2017. Russia carried out one of its largest missile attacks in months, launching 120 missiles and 90 drones across Ukraine, the barrage targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Outrage growing at the University of Oregon after a swastika was discovered in a dormitory hall. Jewish students, along with others on campus, condemning the incident as hate speech. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose in Charlotte. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks lost to the Hornets 115-114 after Giannis was called for a foul on LaMelo Ball. Later, the referees admitted they'd made a bad call after seeing the video postgame. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought the final play was the ref blowing a call. Where on the final play, there's been an incorrect call made. LaMelo Ball fell. He just fell down. Nobody was near him. Slipped on his own. We come up with the ball, the game's over.
The Bucks are now 4-9. College football, the Badgers had the lead, but lost to number one ranked Oregon, 16-13. Wisconsin unable to finish against Penn State and USC earlier this season.
We've been in these situations, we've been close, and we've played some great teams, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's the top-rated team in the country or whoever, and you got to find ways to finish and win football games, and you know that seems to be eluding us in the most critical moments.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly sunny for today. Breezy west winds nearly to 30 and highs in the mid-50s. Overnight, mostly clear skies and lows in the mid-30s. On your Monday, look for partly sunny skies, highs in the low to mid-50s as rain moves in.
It's 53 at our studios.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter. Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison filmmaker and musician James Runde. And Civic Media host Earl Ingram joins the show to talk about his favorite film noirs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to a second half of Lean Local. We're talking about a subject that needs to be talked about, because if we talk about it, we can help solve it. And that subject matter is homelessness. And here in Brown County in Green Bay, that is an issue. There was an article just recently that I read in the paper, Brown County's homeless numbers startling. A lady from Madison came in here, and again, I'll say startling that they do these, what is that, point in time?
Point in time,
and yes. I think it went from 24 to 48. Look, we're 100,000 people, actually 200,000 in the county. Still 48 people homeless, but there would be a heck of a lot more if it wasn't for the new community shelter. It would be 168 is what it would be. So you're taking care of 120 people, 118 people at a time, and they come there, they get better. And I want to talk a little bit more about what get better means. They come in, they make a commitment that they want to get out of homelessness. It's not like, I need a place to sleep, I'm hungry, I need a pair of shoes, I need some new underwear. They get all that, but it's more than that. It's mm-hmm. it's we're going to, change is the right word, we're going to enhance your lifestyle. And talk about that part of it. I mean, they get a chore, they get a case manager, they set their goals, but talk about learning how to live, in quotations, a normal life. Like,
well, we learned early on that there's consequences, always consequences for your actions. And I think we learned positive lessons for that. Many people never recognized that they're experiencing a consequence, because that was their life. You did this, you went to jail, or, whatever. So we, instead of bringing someone in and saying, okay, what you need to what? Get a job, get some housing. We talk about that past, and we see where those gaps are. And it falls into respect and accountability, responsibility. And once we can get people in that mindset, things start to happen easier when they're out applying for a job and things like that. That you can just see when people come in, we take their picture, so the staff can put a name to a face. And within, I would say, 2 weeks, I see them in the hall and say, "You need to get your picture retaken. You look right. Nothing like you did when you came." And you see that transformation of standing a little taller, because there's a sense of self-respect, and they found it.
And sometimes they never knew they had it in them. Bad friends, bad parents, whatever it was. But I know people that are like, God, I can't believe I hadn't had a drink in 5 days. It's like, tomorrow's going to be six. And they just feel better. I was there with Bob Atwell, who is a very, very generous person. Actually, he was on this show when we did Green Bay's Best. And I took him through the shelter to show him around. And he said something that meant a lot to me after driving home thinking about it. But he said, I can't tell who works there and who's a resident. And that just tells you don't have people moping around that are all, coked out or whatever. I mean, they're starting to look healthy, or they look healthy, or maybe I need to look more healthy. But he just couldn't tell who was who. And I think that says a lot for that environment.
It does. It does. I remember a day where an individual came to stay with us, and he very, very chronically individual and looked like that stereotypical homeless guy. Right. And he checked in. Everybody checks in on our third floor, goes to his room, and there was people that ran to the front desk and said, "There's a homeless guy in the building." So we had to laugh. But then you talk to our residents, and they don't feel homeless. This is my home right now.
Right. So they're not homeless.
Right.
They're in an environment.
Exactly.
I don't want to call it a resort, although it is very, very nice. Because you care about them, and then, of course, they care about you, but it's so clean. The food is great. You have games people can play, you know, and places to watch movies. Although during the day, you don't really allow people to sleep. It's like you need to be out.
Unless you're working.
The night shift, right.
Right.
So when people are rebuilding their lives at new community, besides the case manager, job skills, doing a chore, eating well, three meals a day, what other things do they learn, life skills that you and I like take for granted?
Well, on Monday nights, we have a group that gets together and talks about what's happening in the community and what do you think about that? And actually asking the opinion of our residents as to things like the park system, the...
And I think that's that community conversations, I'm familiar with that. And just because you're homeless doesn't mean you don't have an opinion. Or it doesn't mean you don't care. I mean, these people, they care. I was at one of those meetings and it's like, you know what they wanted to talk about was, is our water and are we doing enough recycling? Like they were worried about the next generation. Mm-hmm. And here they are kind of in a homeless shelter. It's like, that is pretty cool when you start thinking that way. And I know an alderman came and the turnout was great. And just asking about, you know, the crime, traffic. And I think that's part of whether you're in a homeless shelter or not, you need to be engaged with community issues.
Right.
It just makes you a better person.
That's the difference of us looking at someone who's homeless and saying and thinking the hopeless. Well, he's homeless. You can't expect him to do this thing. And we see when someone is interested in your opinion and respects your opinion, that goes so far with our people because they haven't had that. So sometimes it's not the class or the group, or it's the opportunity to say, somebody's asking my opinion and I share it. Right. And,
yeah. And that hasn't happened a lot maybe to them, you know?
Right.
And the other thing I want to talk about is getting out and being a productive citizen in the real world. What I like about what you do is you do other things. You have Packer parties.
We do. We have
those are unbelievable.
We have a donor that supports the cost of every Packer game. There's a party held at the shelter and
for the residents.
For the residents, and they're very well attended, and the game's on, and they do prize drawings, things like that. They one of the cool things is they try to, for the meal, have the...
kind of poke fun at the...
Poke fun at the opposing team.
That's like, awesome.
The one game, we played the Bears, and they actually had bear meat.
That's awesome.
So that was something.
But I remember the Saints, which we're playing the Saints again. Somebody was telling me about the Saints game, some unbelievable shrimp and
Creole
jambalaya. Oh, that's what it was, jambalaya.
Great.
Yeah. And they do that alcohol-free.
Exactly. I mean, it's another way of teaching people a different lifestyle. You can be sober, you know, and have fun.
And they do. The other thing I want to talk about that you do there, besides the community conversations and the Packer games, karaoke.
Karaoke.
And I grew up in the school where unless you drank, there was no karaoke.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
they are some of those people. I mean, I've been there. They are good singers.
They are. It's just amazing. And again, having fun without alcohol, you know, around other people who are not drinking as well.
Right.
So
and it is fun. And they say it's fun. And that's why the attendance keeps growing at these things. I think sometimes, Terry, that if it wouldn't be for the new community, I don't think they knew that was possible.
Right. I agree. I agree. Because they would have continued to sleep in a park or under a tree, and that was going to be their life, and they would rely on, you know, a sandwich from
a handout.
Somebody. Yeah,
and the other thing I don't know that they thought it was possible, besides, you know, living a alcohol and drug free, is to have friends that really care about you, and we care about them. I mean, they say that a lot. I mean, the atmosphere, the ambience isn't really the right word, but like Christmas is coming up. That place is going to look like Santa's workshop.
It is. It is. And that's, you know, a credit to our community that comes in and helps decorate from the first floor to the third floor. Oh. And you know it's Christmas when you walk in that building. And so many of our residents have never experienced that.
Right. which is sad when you hear about that, but at least they're experiencing it now. I want to talk a little bit about the people who slip up. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody gets there and, oh my God, finally. There's got to be people that if they do drink or they don't do a chore, there's got to be some kind of...
consequence, yeah. We've got some people that sometimes people will come in and kind of test us. Do they really mean that? The 10 o'clock curfew or in the sobriety? And find out, well, no, this isn't for me. And, excuse me, those same people will probably come back 4 months later, 3 months later, and know what the program is and be ready for the program. And I look at it, just as you said earlier, I mean, to count the days, I'm sober today and I'm sober tomorrow. And, you know, then the sky's the limit.
Right.
But just to get them there for a day or two makes a world of difference. But you're right. Some people don't. It's not for them.
Right. Now.
Now.
It's for everybody, but just at what point in time? How do they go about getting jobs, interviewing, transportation? I mean, that's the real world. That is the real world.
We have a series called Employment Readiness, where we have people from the community, actual employers, come in and give sessions on kind of like workplace conflict in the workplace. And next class, come dressed as you would if you were going on an interview. And if residents show up not appropriate, they are not allowed in class that day. Come back the next day. And we have mock interviews where people who hire people will come in and suggest, you know, when you go on a job interview, you know, you need to get a haircut. So talk to your case manager about that. The people come back a week later and interview that same person and say, you didn't get your haircut. Yeah. You know, so for some, it takes a number of, you know, how do you present yourself at an interview? And we have a lot of employers that work with us. So, you know, that's good too. But, you know, probably, I think it was 87% of the people at the shelter right now have an income from one way or another, from either employment, one job, maybe two jobs for some, or, you know, Social Security disability.
And part of your life skill education is you recommend, or I don't know if it's recommend or demand, but they need to save 70% of their income.
Yes, they do. 70%.
You know, I've never done that.
Me neither. But, you know, they're living at the shelter free. You know, you have everything you need while you're there, from food, your bed, clothing, you name it. So coincidentally, 70% of your income is pretty close to what you're going to pay for housing when you get out in the community. So you're used to saving that. So that's the mindset behind that.
That is great. But you, when you talk about, you know, they get the sheets, but they make their bed, they do their laundry, I go into those rooms and I think 8 guys are living in this room. Spotless.
Well, the women are the worst. The lockers, you know, but you're right. And
everything's in the locker. You can't have clothes laying all over. You can't change in the room. You change in the bathroom. And it's just, those rules are just very respectable rules. But every time I give a tour there, I'm like, wow, this is, and there's 8 people. I mean, I shared a room with my brother and it never looked like that.
Yeah. So. Well, and you've got 8 people coming from 8 different directions with multiple issues. Never have we had an altercation at the shelter. In 20 years, we have never had, our biggest complaint is snoring.
Yeah.
That's the biggest complaint. But well, yeah.
Don't you get free earplugs?
We do.
Okay, so all right, quit your complaining. Yeah. That is just great that they're learning these life skills. We're going to take a break and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about, is there a next step? And I know you're working on one. I want you to share that with our listeners. You've done a great job for the past 20 years. A lot of people have gotten out of homelessness because of the new community shelter, because of your staff, because of you. But there is a next step for people that just are on the edge a little bit. We're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest Terry Rothsgard, CEO, NEW Community Shelter.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think it is, to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Schmidt. Today we're discussing homelessness. Homelessness in Green Bay. I know it's the holidays, but this is the time where we lean into issues that can make this community better. And homelessness is one, and it's being addressed, and it's being addressed in the right way by New Community Shelter. Terry Ruffsgaard, who is the CEO, is our in-house guest, and talked about people who show up there, don't have much, some don't have anything, and they're homeless, don't have friends, money, credit, and they rebuild their lives there through a lot of effort on their part, the residents' part. I mean, staff works hard, but nobody
But it's the people that do the work.
They do. Yeah. And not only do they job skills and respect for the neighborhood, for each other, they get their meals, they do a chore every day, get employment. I think 87% of the people, she said, working there are employed. They save their money. And then eventually get out into the real world. And that works for most people. Was that a safe statement?
Yes. We have our emergency program on our third floor. On our second floor, we have transitional living apartments, and we have 20 of those. And we have, you know, one of the requirements is you have to have an income of some sort to live on that floor. Usually, they can stay up to 23 months, but a lot of times people will leave 7-8 months because they want to get out. They've got a job. They want to get out into the community, which is great. We have some people that are quite chronically homeless, usually have some type of addiction, that either they make it on the second floor and they move out and they hang with the same friends and they're right back to where they were. They are not, they're in an apartment, but they don't know how to live appropriately in that apartment. The keeping the apartment up, and you don't have 20 friends come live with you because you've got an apartment. So there's so much for some people that they need to learn before they go out into the community.
And you teach them that. I mean, that's cleaning your room. I mean, sometimes it's not that they're a little kid, but you look at it, check on them and say, hey, look, you can't do this. Food's got to get, refrigerator's got to get cleaned out. And
well, it's kind of the, in your apartment, in your home, what do you do every day? What do you do every week? What do you do every month?
Mm-hmm.
Our people don't know that.
Yeah.
They don't, I mean, you empty the garbage when it's overflowing and on the floor. Then they'll, you know, so that basic living skills, we are really zoning in on now as programming.
Right. And they will be great neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But you're working, there are some people that still need a little bit of coaching, and they may need that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
need room in your place because you've got a waiting list. So
exactly.
Tell us about your next phase, your next project, which, well, you talk about it. I know about it.
Well, you know, in 20 years, I've seen a lot of changes in homelessness, a lot of changes in the people and the resources. What we're experiencing is what you said. We've got people coming in the front door that have to wait because we have no room.
Right.
And part of that is people are needing to stay with us for a longer period of time to truly be on their feet before they leave. To us, the longer you stay, the better, because then we know you're stable when you move out. There's a group of people that certain people will move out and get an apartment, and they just don't make it. They need a close tie. They need case management. They need someone
ongoing. You know,
ongoing. So what we are doing is we are building about a 45-unit apartment complex, kitty corner, right across the street from the shelter. I am so excited about that. So excited, because now there will be a place for people to come through our shelter and, you know, get the life skills and move into the apartment and be a good tenant and live a healthy life.
And have been taught how to be a good neighbor,
exactly.
A good tenant.
Yep.
And we'll also have access across the street to case management,
yep.
Possibly the community conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And something else that we didn't talk about is you serve a community meal there. Not just for the residents.
Right. It's for anybody in our community who would otherwise go hungry.
And how often do you do that, and how many people come on average?
We have supper every single night, 365 days of the year.
Never miss one. Rain, sleet, snow, Christmas, New Year's, you're always, always there.
30 years, we have never missed a meal. We also serve lunch on weekends and holidays. So, and that program would not be possible without this community.
And how many people, if some residents come, some of them are working, but if 60 residents come, how many people from the community come?
To eat? Oh, I think we're serving upwards of almost 200 people a
every
meal.
Night.
Yeah.
Every night.
It's like a wedding when you think about it, you know.
And it's in 1 hour, and it is great food. And that food, I want to give a shout out, because I kind of help get some volunteers there. The church groups and Schreiber and Schneider and PTI and Doozies and Badger State Brewing, and they come once a month. And
right.
It's a good team building exercise for them. You know, I
right.
think it's good that the employees get together, and there may be somebody from finance, sales, and you work for
right.
the same company. They make a meal. It maybe costs $250. They make the meal and they serve the meal, and the residents are grateful.
Oh yeah, we always get comments from the people that come in and provide the meal of how appreciative our residents are, as they should be, as they should be.
Right.
But they really are. They really, truly are appreciative.
So serving 200 people a meal every evening, lifting 118 people out of homelessness on a regular basis, they do move out. But I think what's really exciting that you're doing, Terry, and you've been at it, is this permanent supportive housing right across the street where people can. And that's going to end homelessness.
That will. That will end homelessness one person at a time.
Which is the way to do it.
And that's good for the community. That's good for the people. I mean, it's such an exciting. It's not. There is permanent supportive housing out there, but in most cases it's government supported. So it's done in a way of their expectations. Ours is going to be built by this community, and I think our community has their arms around it already.
It's amazing. I know I've seen a little bit of the numbers, and the money's coming in for that. People,
yep.
And that's big credit to you, 20 years of lifting lives, and then to get something, the next phase, and really the final phase, if you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
To have that all in that area of Green Bay, right off Broadway on Mather Street. Yeah, congrats to you. I want you to come back and tell us about this permanent supportive housing. I think that's a model that we need, not just here in Green Bay, but throughout the U.S. This has been great. Hey, happy holidays to you. Thanks
Same
for all
you,
you're
Jim.
Doing. You must sleep very well. You do such great things. Mm. All right, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Terry Ruffsgaard, CEO of New Community Shelter, has been our very special guest. This community needs to be grateful to Terry and NEW for what they do to get people out of homelessness in our community. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Sunday. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll be joined by President of the Union, Reed Galen, also a founder of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.